Sarah Winnemucca, in her book, talks about a Captain Dave. And I wondered if that was the same man. Now, Bertie's Dave, her grandfather was a Captain Dave. Mm-hmm. Is that the same man? Is that the same Captain Dave?
Same one?
Is it?
I don't know. I don't think she's related to that Captain Dave.
I think it's
they're four pilots and Bertie and...
Yeah. Well, I'm beginning to think of that was a different guy, too. Mm-hmm. This Captain Dave that had the star.
Yeah, he was our Captain Don Nixon, Captain Dave.
You say, and he's the one that you called...
Numena.
Uh-huh,
yeah.
Okay, and that's the Captain Dave that had the star. Mm-hmm. Right. But you don't think that that's the same... Captain Dave that was Bertie's grandfather. I'm beginning to think that that's right because, Helen didn't know, mm-hmm. see, but the other day I gave her a picture of Captain Dave Numenot mm-hmm. to show her mother, mm-hmm. and so her mother will know mm-hmm. whether that was the same man or not. Bertie will know whether.
Yeah.
Bertie will remember. Dave Numenow will. Both men had quite a few wives, I think. Do you know any of Captain Dave Numenow's wives' names?
I don't know him, but I know her. I've seen her when I was a little girl. She's a big fat woman, too.
Well, you think he just had one wife? Captain Dave Numenow just had one?
Yeah, he had that wife, and she died, and he married another one. He married one woman just deaf. And they had a turkey wedding down there, down Nixon, and they made everybody laugh.
Oh, really?
In the church.
Really?
Uh-huh. They were out in the front with a preacher, you know.
Uh-huh.
And after he read, you know, about the marriage, you know, in the Bible,
yeah.
In the book, he read that, and then he told him to hold hands.
Yeah.
Hold hands. He said, as that woman is deaf, and sit down and hear, and day, week, and year, and just stand over there, and he said, the whole hands. That's what the preacher told him. And he said, this man, they come up. And then he said, no matter, carry on. And he said, hold my hand, he said, in the fire. No matter, carry on. Then that woman said, where we going? Hanura, Nimiyaku.
Oh, that's funny.
mother.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was funny.
Oh, my God. They were standing in front of everybody, you know, on the, by the altar over there, the preacher standing here. I think the minister on this side of the room was there. They had no ring, though. I didn't know what they would do when they were asked about the ring, but they didn't have no ring. They were quiet, which is a holy hand. Yeah. There's a woman, she don't understand it, she can't hear and shit. And this man said in the fire, mother, carry it. This is the way it goes here. Mother, carry it. How much of money? He said, come on, hold hand, where's your hand? He said. And that woman said, where are we going? All the boys, the boys, they put that one part in themselves.
Yes, of course.
That was Captain Dave's marriage. Along the aisle, clear through the door they went. I never forget it. I always think about it. You know, this lady, she's deaf and she talk big, and the man's got to talk big to her and loud, you know.
Yeah.
They make everybody laugh in the church.
Well, then he didn't have four or five wives all at the same time then, huh?
No.
Then that certainly must be a different Captain Dave that was over there.
Yeah, it must be.
Yeah. I was beginning to think so. And
I don't know what his first wife's name is. I know her. She's some fat woman. I don't know what her name is. But this other one that the one that's holding hand with him was her name was Susan.
Susan.
They call him the Susan. She's a deaf Susan, they call her.
Uh-huh.
In Paiute, the Susan.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because she's deaf.
Deaf.
Somebody might tell you the same thing. Maybe Mamie might know if she don't forget.
Yeah.
I don't forget what I see.
No.
Yeah.
Was it the school time?
Yeah, in that old church that burned down.
Yeah.
I don't know how they covered it, because that church had a step to go up.
Yeah.
I don't know how they make it when they come out of there. That's a car, you know, now to me, I will. Who next
time?
Oh, good. We get one. I have one of those good. You know, we like to use that good, because I don't get it. They have a two house in the menu and in the night. They must cut it when you must tell her. We don't have no idea, of course.
Is everybody warm enough?
Yeah.
Yourself to this. I think that must be a different Captain Dave.
I read the milk.
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I read the milk with hot water.
Okay, fine. That probably had water dried in it before.
I think I know Bertie's grandfather's name. I think they call him Skinny Dave, I think.
See, there was a Skinny Dave. Oh.
His son's name, Bertie's uncle's name was Ben Dave. I remember him, I know him. There was another girl too, but she said, I don't know her name. But Bertie, she went to school down Nixon with me, so I know her, and I know her brother too, Ben.
Huh. You think that was her grandfather?
It's not Skinny, it's Bertie's uncle's name, Skinny Dave.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, her the one used to live in Winnemucca.
Yeah. So then what was...
The old man's name, I don't know. Yeah, it's Bertie's uncle. Name was Skinny Dave.
Yeah. I don't think Skinny Dave had any kids, did he?
Skinny, no.
No, that's why I remember her. Bertie's getting real deaf. And
yeah, she nearly died, you know.
Yeah.
She was in the hospital. Lulu said she's home now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She's home. She's living in the little house back of Helen's house.
Yeah.
I think Helen knows more Indian ways for her age than anybody else that I've ever seen. She doesn't know the names of lots of them, of the birds and animals, like the people who used to go out walking a lot, but her grandmother must have told her, talked to her an awful lot. Her grandmother's name was Mary, wasn't it?
Her mother, Bertie's. Mary, and the other one's name was Lottie, Bertie's aunt, and the other one was, let's see what was her name. her Indian name was, Bunny Irene, no, but I don't know what her white name was. Young people, they all talk alike.
They do? In the family, you mean?
Yeah, when they talk, they all sound alike.
So that...
They talk the same way.
Yeah. Huh. They open, and they get up fast, you know. Mm-hmm. You can tell that a lot of times. I can tell it sometimes with my grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
They are getting to sound so much like their father that I can't tell who's mm-hmm. answering the telephone. Kids sure learn how to talk like their parents do. Ethel, you told that wonderful story about the skimmer horns when they'd stop the train.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever hear that, Mabel? About the, when the skimmer...
If I heard, I remember. What about the train?
I don't know that, what you call that, a
trestle?
The bridge, the SP bridge in Mullen Passage. When the passenger train was still running through Nixon.
Yes.
That was the time when they were living by the lake over there.
Uh-huh.
Margaret was a little girl then.
Uh-huh.
She was with them.
Yes.
This time, I guess. I don't know how he happened to be around there, around the track, and he found it, you know. Before they joined together, it was a park.
The water washed it out?
I don't know how, maybe the spike came out or something.
Uh-huh.
And it was like that, it says, a rail.
Uh-huh.
But the train wheel goes on. And he stayed there. He stayed there, I guess. He wants to let the train know. Well, after a while, the passing train was coming. I guess he's standing over there and wave at the engineer in the front. Go like that with his hat, you know, tell him to stop. Then that engineer in the car, he stopped the car, and then that man told him about that thing.
About the train,
about
the rail track, being broken, huh?
He broke, I guess, something like that. He, then all the passengers get out the car and shake hands with him and tell him, you save our lives, and everything. Some kind of good words to him, you know. That's how he saved lots of people.
Saved lots of people.
Uh-huh.
Well, now, were there two skimmer horns or just one?
But there were two skimmer horns.
And which one was that?
I think that was the one that saved the train was, I think it was Frank skimmer horn. One was named John, I know. I don't know which one of them.
They always stay together.
Yeah. Uh-huh. They always stay together and they don't go around among people because they're mean.
Yeah, they stay away from
They stay way out from other people.
Yeah, do their own.
Uh-huh.
By themselves.
Ethel, how do you mean they were mean? Because that was a pretty good thing that he did.
You know the way they killed that man in Reno.
Oh, that same one you're telling.
That one that threw into the ditch.
Yeah.
By that, what you call that old ditch, ditch that ran way out there towards
that
the
fellow whose name was Cook.
Mine. Uh-huh.
The one you were telling about. Well, did they, you think that they killed him?
Sure they did. Them two men and their sister, Nanny, they call him.
Nanny.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But
she helped them,
you know. I guess they killed him over at their own shack, Skimmerhorn shack. After he died, I guess they dragged him. There was a willow, you know how they fix willow fence like that?
Yeah.
over the ditch, and from there barbed wire that way. It was just over the ditch, and right there I just was slitting down into the water. And here, that woman's hand, all bloody, was holding onto one of the willows.
Oh.
That's how they find out.
How they found out?
They saw that out and the policeman took it.
They saw that willow out of the fence with a blood-stained hand.
And they traced it. And that old lady said that there was a Mexican around here. She said he was drunk and he all around. Maybe that Mexican done it. That's what their mother told the police, but it was no Mexican around this day.
Oh.
It was them, her own family that done it. These two men and that one woman.
The woman was the mother?
Yeah. No, that was their sister.
Her sister?
Uh-huh.
Oh. Not too hot.
Then they hide around in Reno. Way later on, they said they were walking, I don't know which way they were, from Virginia City or through here. They were walking towards Dayton, them two women, that woman and her mother, after they killed that man. And way after they caught her, that woman, and they asked her in a jail, asked her to tell the truth, and so she did. And over there at the university where the girls' dormitory used to be, it was high a long time ago. Mm-hmm. It was high, and then right in there, I guess she crawled in there and she put that, you know, this old fashioned razor like knife.
Uh-huh.
On the back, that kind
pulled
of razor.
Folding
I guess, yeah, she put it someplace like that, in there, someplace like that.
In the bricks?
Uh-huh, on the board.
On the board.
And that's where she took that razor blade, and it still had blood stain on it.
Hmm. Well then, did they lock the boys up?
They locked one of them. Then, but this woman, she got out, but she's supposed to be in, but this man said, I won't take my sister's place. I don't want my sister to be in jail. Well, that's why he took this woman's place, and he was in jail for it. And these two were out, this woman and her other brother were out. Only one of them got in.
Oh. Well, why did they kill him? I mean, he seemed to be a nice guy. Didn't everybody like this fellow whose his name is Cook?
Cook, you know, somebody, I don't know who, killed one of them, Skimmerhorn family, right in Reno, a hotel that used to be over there on Virginia Street, on Prada, I think. They call it a hotel gallery, something like that.
Yeah.
Big hotel right there in the corner.
Yeah.
Right in there, that was a restaurant. And this George Cook, he always be helping the Chinaman peel potatoes, green lettuce, green all vegetables.
Yeah.
He was doing that in there. And way after a while, this man, one of the Skimmerhorns, they found him in a woodshed back of that restaurant.
Found a skimmer?
One of them Skimmerhorn boys.
Yeah.
They found him and somebody killed him. Chopped his head off, you know, with axe on the block.
Oh,
and
gracious.
You see the blood splattered all over the boards, you know.
Was
then
he drunk when he... must have been drunk.
I don't know whether he was drunk then. Way after a while, nobody know who done it, but this year George Cook's wife got mad at George and told the Skimmerhorn family that George Cook done that.
Oh.
he'd kill your son, he'd kill your brother. Told him that's why they got after George Cook and killed him.
Oh, I see.
Uh-huh. I don't know whether he done it or not. In the Chinaman in that, they were having a trial, he was over there and he said, George never done it, somebody else. The Chinaman Cook in that tried to help him. But they killed him.
For that reason,
revenge. They killed George, yeah.
It was revenge then.
Uh-huh.
I wonder, there wasn't any witchy kind of Indian doctor that was involved in that, was
no.
It? And then you said when they finally found George by his, he'd slid down that ditch so far that.
Yeah, then everybody said, why he get over every screen?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have the screen mm-hmm. in the ditches, the hole. Branches or something mm-hmm. in there, and it's like, you try to come along and you clean them out, throw them out with pork. That's the way this, what you're calling, a man that used to be in watch was a, let me see, what's he called? I know him. He was a ditch rider that time, and he was going through the ditch, and he found him way down, pretty close to Whittington.
Mm.
Yeah, and everybody wondered how he got over that screen.
Over the screen.
Into another place, and you're so there. I don't know how many screens he went over. I don't know how he went over. That's one part of the Indians said. Maybe nighttime they go over there and they put him over that screen onto the other side, and he flowed on along in there onto another screen.
Mm.
See, the Indians missed him for a long time. He was found when all his bodies were all gone, rotten.
Mm.
You know, just take him out and all this. He was just like a rag, you say.
Mm-hmm.
You cut off in here and everything, just hanging like that, you say.
That wouldn't be very good to look at,
but. His face was back here, you say. It was broken. His nose was gone to rubbing against the cement wall, you know.
It must have been an awful bad thing to look at.
Yeah, uh-huh. He's a relative to them, Fred Williams in the family.
Huh.
I think he was their uncle, his uncle.
Oh, that's the one that you said, he had his hair cut like
yeah,
that,
yeah,
didn't
uh-huh.
you? Yeah,
uh-huh.
Kind of bobbed.
Uh-huh. Right.
There's no Skimmerhorns left now, are there? Any relatives?
Just one lady. It's a Maud Sampson, Louis Sampson's wife. That was that lady, Mary they call her, Mary Skimmerhorn. Her daughter's the only one that's living now.
And that's Dewey Sampson's wife?
Uh-huh,
huh?
That was Dewey Sampson's
wife. Oh, really?
She's
got mean to her.
Uh-huh.
She's got mean
woman. Yeah, she talks nasty all the time.
Huh?
Is
it running the family?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's the only one, and she's got lots of boys. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She even mean to her son.
Uh-huh.
Mean to the to work.
Yeah, the one son that was that died, you know. What you call him, Reginald?
Reginald.
Every time I used to go over to that place, and sometimes he go down Nixon, and I'd meet her, and I always go, how's Reginald getting along? I always call him Sonny. How's Sonny getting along? Oh, you always talk about him. You always ask him, but he's not good. He's an old wino. He's going to die pretty soon, drinking wine.
Mm-hmm.
Wayne's going to kill him. And that's just the way he went. I heard her say that from after that boy died, I never go to Mom's house no more. That boy always go over to my place, calling me auntie, and he's always talked good to me, and I respect him. That's one reason why when Ma talks like that, I don't like him. Yeah, I don't like it. Mm-hmm. He's the only one that's left in the Skimmerhorn bunch. He was a little girl that was about that tall.
Yeah.
Even though they put him in a school over there.
Yeah,
and tore a grasshopper's wife to Ma's aunt.
Uh-huh.
They sent them all down to Nixon.
Yeah.
To stay down Nixon all their lifetime.
Yeah.
Never come to Reno. Mm-hmm. Stay down there. You die there. That's what they were told. And yet Ma's up in Reno.
Who told them to do
in
that?
In court.
In court they told them to do that?
Yeah.
I mean, just because of this?
Huh?
Just because of that, that thing?
Yeah.
Well, the court can't make them do that. The court can't make you stay in one place. They might tell them that, but they can't make them do it.
Well, that's the way you said.
Just because of that one thing, then the whole family had to stay down there.
Sure, that's a punishment.
I tell them to keep away from Reno.
Uh-huh.
Keep out of Reno, huh?
Stay in Nixon.
Uh-huh.
Don't make any trouble anymore.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Tell them.
Yeah. Well, they might, you know, other people might keep on carrying on. George, did he have any kids?
No.
So I was wondering whether, you know, one of his kids would try to kill a Skimmerhorn, you know, if they started feuding back and forth, whether they...
Yes, sir. You know that boy with his sister's, son, they call him Whitney Cook.
Yeah.
Whitney Cook, a tall young man.
Yeah.
They said he was George Cook's son. I don't know. I don't know nothing about it. And yet somebody said he was a Mexican.
Well, then
Mexican
I also heard that Whitney Cook's father was short and fat, too. But then I've heard both stories too.
He's a heavyset man, George Cook.
George Cook was a heavyset man.
Uh
huh. Oh, was he?
Then they say that Whitney Cook was his son, and some say that that's not his son. He's a Mexican. I don't know which is true.
Hey, well, you remember that picture we saw up in the Historical Society?
Yeah.
Well, that man was tall and thin, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And he had his hair cut like this, but
straight,
Got
a hat, big hat.
Yeah. I think that's why they thought he.
But that must be that man from Yarrington.
Oh, you're talking about Jack Wilson?
Uh-huh.
This wasn't Jack Wilson, but he wore his hat like that. Did you ever see those old pictures that I have?
I'm trying to find
the names for them.
Uh-huh.
You saw those. Uh-huh. Well, they were in that bunch of pictures. I'm still asking about those pictures. I think I found out all the names that anybody knows. I think the rest of those pictures belong down in Tonopah. I think the rest of those, most of those pictures are Shoshone people.
Yeah, uh-huh.
They look a little different. I'm going to have to ask Helen about that. Oh, now to go back to Captain Dave Numina, was he related to Sarah Winnemucca?
I don't think so.
Uh-huh. Okay, then that's just fine. I think that just kind of there was a Captain Dave that Sarah was related to. She talks about him in her book.
Uh-huh.
So I just came to the conclusion that was Captain Dave Numina, because I had never heard of two Captain Daves.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know that Birdie's mother,
mm-hmm,
was related to Sarah. She went to Sarah's school over there in Lovelock.
Mm-hmm.
And she called her auntie, but mm-hmm, she was related some other way. I don't know just how. Mm-hmm. But
Bertie's grandmother, she was related to Lee Winnemucca.
To Lee Winnemucca.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. How? Do you have any idea?
I don't know how. That's what they say.
Bertie's grandmother.
Yeah. And Bertie's grandmother. Because
uh-huh.
I remember once after he died, my mother went over there in Lovelock, and she went over there to my brother's place, and that's where my mother was staying with him. And she went over there. You know how this old Indians, they talk, and the way up toward it, they start crying.
That was because of Lee.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. It's 7:45. Are you people tired? You ready to go to bed yet? You want to talk some more? She wants to talk, we want to listen.
Go to bed early, can't sleep.
Yeah, can't sleep.
When I'm really too sleepy, then I go to bed and I go.
Yeah, just yeah.
<I'm> dead. When I'm all alone at home, when I go to bed and never sleep. Sometimes I go to sleep 3:00 in the morning.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, I can't go to sleep. Toss around, turn out in this way. Sometimes I turn the light on and I get up, sit down, and I drink water. Maybe I must go to sleep now. Can't go to sleep. By the time I get having a good sleep, daylight comes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's when I'm all alone. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm that way, but sometimes I sleep good.
Mm-hmm.
But ever since this girl and the boy down there, see, I feel good.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. I feel good. When we eat, do we talk, do we laugh? When I'm all alone, I eat there, keep quiet,
mm-hmm,
nobody to talk to. Quiet. Feels funny.
Well, after today's exercise, you ought to sleep pretty good tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Pounding those
If we should go tomorrow, we can just pick on the ground.
You're just going to pick on the ground?
Uh-huh. Right? We're not going to use candles.
Mabel, did I tell you who made those?
No, I forgot.
Frame.
Yeah.
Make a frame over it like that, over the fire, so high like that, the fire here. Then they don't jerk them, and they just cut it like steaks.
Yeah.
Like cut it like steaks, and they put it on top of that frame all around like that.
Kind of lay it over it?
Uh-huh.
Like we're laying rollers or something over it?
Like that, it's covered with meat and the fire going here after the thing is up. If they don't get it clear done, it's about rare, I think, then they turn it and then they hang them out. That's the one that when it dries, you can just crumble it up with your hand. Good.
So you cut across the muscles with that knife. You see, when we make jerky, we cut the long way of the muscle so that it all sticks together like this.
Uh-huh.
And then when we go to eat it, then we cut little slices off across the muscle so that they're just. They put it out like steaks. Cutting across the muscle, just like a steak, huh?
Uh-huh.
Oh, Garth, wouldn't that taste good?
Then he teach me how to cut the leg part, you know. It's three parts. The meat on the leg is three parts, three sections. Then he told me, you cut it this way. Here's
the
one.
The hind leg or the front leg?
Yeah, hind leg.
Hind leg.
And
right.
Then here's one, he said. Here's another one. The three parts, he just slap them off, he said, clear to the bone.
Yeah. They have a little, like a little tissue paper almost between them, don't they?
Right. Then they stick together like that.
Yeah.
Cut it right through in there. And that three parts like that in the hind leg.
Right.
Uh-huh. Then you make a jerky out of it. You cut a steak like first,
Cut it along with the muscle, huh?
Like that. Then you go around and cut it like that.
Well, now, does he cut it off so that, you know, you have this long piece of meat that's just all stuck together.
Uh-huh.
Then does he cut it off the top like this?
No.
But he cuts it along this way.
Uh-huh.
That's how we do, too, with the muscle.
And the spine part, too. Way back of his neck, right here, close to the spine bone. Take a knife and cut it clear. Way back, about right here.
We call that the loin, huh?
Yeah, the loin.
Right,
then,
right.
Then you take a knife and you cut it over the rib like that.
Uh-huh.
Then you just take the meat part of the spine, clear down here, clear back to here.
Uh-huh.
Then there's a, you know, what they call it, a tendon.
Tendon line?
Then you take the knife, you put it like that on the table. Then you put your knife right here. Then you stitch the meat like that, and you take all that off. Nothing left but meat.
Right. So, and then all the muscles are going with it.
Yeah.
And then when you get through jerking it, then you cut it across, I mean like this is a slab like here, then you cut it like this, in little pieces like this, and eat those little pieces, and then it's just little short pieces that crumble in your mouth. Is that what you do?
No, kind of when you swish straight.
No, I mean after, when you go to eat it.
Uh-huh.
At...
Yeah, you cut them up for little pieces.
Little pieces. Uh-huh. And then it kind of comes apart.
Uh-huh.
Right, that's what we do too. Uh-huh. Sounds like everything went off. Oh, gracious.
on the neck part, and we just boil.
Yeah.
Boil, and then we boil, cook it like that.
The neck part.
Sometimes we boil it too.
Last year, a man gave me a deer from Idaho, and it was hanging. He put it in our honey house in Fallon. And the horns were hanging up on the rafter like this, that high, and the feet were on the ground. That's how big it was.
Gee, big one.
Oh, it was tremendous, and he gave me that whole deer. So, and he let it go too long. It was just starting, almost starting to spoil.
Oh.
But I washed it all with vinegar. And did you ever use vinegar on meat?
What?
Vinegar?
Yeah, if your meat a little bit spoiled,
right.
You put vinegar with the water and you wash them in there.
Well,
and you hang them up.
Yeah, well, I took about a whole gallon of vinegar and poured it in a pan and took a big rag and washed that whole deer in vinegar.
Yeah,
and then it smelled pretty good, right. And that neck was so big, Ethel, I could hardly get it into a 5 gallon pressure cooker.
Oh.
You know that, but a great big you know that great big pressure cooker?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And so I pressured that whole neck with some seasoning in it. And then I pulled it all off the bone and ground it up with, and Mabel, you ate some of that ground up deer meat, didn't you? That for we use it for sandwiches. Oh. With mayonnaise, and we use it for sandwiches. Oh, it was so good. And then I took all the bones and put them in the pressure cooker the second time. First I did the neck. And then I picked all the meat off of the bones. It took me about 2 days to fix that deer. Jeepers, it was a big job. Awful big deer.
Yeah,
it was about going to sleep.
Just resting.
Okay, you're listening?
I'm listening.
Okay. I like to fix meat like up. Let's see.
And Ethel told me that same man, when he killed deer way off, he carried it down himself.
Yeah.
Some way out.
On his back, huh?
On his back.
He can pack two deer, no matter how far he killed.
Oh.
He knows how to fix it and how to load it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can pack two deer.
Sometimes deer get awful heavy.
Yeah, sometimes they're heavy, but big ones. You know, we had one great big one about 3 years or 4 years ago with coma. The antlers were about that big, it sprayed out like that. Gee, the neck was about that wide.
Yeah.
And I cut it clear to here and back here,
yeah.
It was about that long.
Yeah.
So we took it down next and then gave it to one of my friends, the fat one. We jerked all the rest. I don't care much for it when it's fresh, but I like it when we make jerky out of it. I like it dry.
Ethel, do you know anything at all about the old people and their ceremonies about getting deer? Do you know anything about any stories that are connected with deer hunting or getting deer?
No.
I mean, what did the men eat the heart? The hunters, huh? The hunters. I was wondering if a long time ago the hunters didn't eat the heart.
That, you know, the boys that kill anything, any kind of game. The first game that boy, whoever he is, killed, he's not supposed to meet any of it.
Yeah.
No.
Right.
And way after a while, I don't know what they do with him. Way up quiet, he starts eating whatever he killed.
Whatever, after he... some people have told me that if a hunter eats the deer's heart, mm-hmm. then the next time he sees a deer, his own heart will start going real fast and he can't shoot good. Did you ever hear that?
No.
It's what we call buck fever.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. So Ethel, what do you want to drink with your coffee, water, wine?
I don't know what kind it is. But the only one I know is the yellow ones.
Why do they?
These kind of yellow ones, they're called, you know, this a hohori or something like that. I don't know what kind.
This is called octuba, yellow.
Uh-huh. Yellow too. I don't know which kind they is. My grandmother says it's a hohori or something. I don't know which kind. They've got names for them, but I don't know it.
Some look like striped ones.
Yeah, some kind of red looking, you know.
Yeah.
Some brown.
Yeah.
They're different colors. Some real black. Then all English. They got name for all the spinets.
Which kind do they like the best?
I don't know. They take them all.
They all
sing.
What they say about the little tiny nuts the Indians used to get them all, huh? Those
little tiny ones?
Yeah, lots of sometimes on the corn.
Real small ones.
Yes.
They pick them separate. They pick them separate, and when you're going to make pine soup, you roast them, and when you take the shells off, they're all even sizes, and you can crack them good on a board in that rock, you know. You can take shells off good, but if it's mixed with some kind of big pines like this, you won't touch them little ones.
But they're rock. The rock won't get down that far.
It won't crush the little ones, but this one you can crush it, but the little one. Little ones, you don't crack the shells. But in that way, they save the little ones to one side and use it for one time, you know.
Uh-huh.
The same size. And it's good.
Yeah.
When they take shells off, they can take shells because they're all even size. When they put them on a board like that.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But when they mix with the little ones, right here, the big right here, the small one like that.
Yeah.
And put they, rock over it like that. It won't touch the little one.
The little ones won't get cracked.
Uh-huh. And they say when you make pine soup out of it, it dissolves lots to make more. More than the big pine, they say.
The little ones.
Yeah.
Make more than the big ones. I wonder why.
I don't know. That's what they say, and I always say, my mother always say, look for little ones. We're going to make pine soup tomorrow. I look around and I find small ones, and I tell her, she'd pick it and clean it good and put it in a different manner. She don't mix it with the others. Then when she's ready, she roasts them with coal. Then after she cracked the shells off, then she roast them again to make them dry, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that she starts grinding it. They clean it off with it. They take a few of the pines and grind it roughly, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Then they put it over the pines like that when it's roasted with shells on. No, with shells off.
Yeah.
Then put it over the cat, sprinkle with a little water, then you go ahead over the cat. And all that dirt from the pine, charcoal dirt, all comes on your hand.
Yeah.
Black stuff, everything. Then these nuts be nice and clean.
So clean.
Ethel. Sometimes they use flowers too. Flowers just the same.
Oh, they did.
Yeah.
They use flowers. Ethel, did you kids ever play with that stuff that after they had used it to clean the nuts?
Uh-huh.
Did you ever play with that?
I know I did. I put them in the fire. Sounded like a firecracker.
Oh.
That's how we used to play them. My mother, don't do that to it. Don't ever do that, she said.
Why?
I don't know. She told me that.
But
I used to, when she cleans pines, you know, when she went out and the bad ones blow off, and I always rake them up, and we have fire like this outside, you know.
Uh-huh.
I throw some in there, then it cracks and pop out, and I like to hear it.
Yeah.
Then after that, I said, don't do that. Don't do it no more, she said. But she never tell me the reason.
She didn't
I don't see
that.
Why she said that to me.
Huh.
I thought I was having fun.
Yeah. I sure it was poppy.
Uh-huh.
Well,
I thought I was playing firecracker.
Yeah. Well, what I meant was that mushy stuff that after it had gotten black, after it had cleaned up the nuts, then, you know, it all rolls up.
Then you clean off. It all rolls up.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So did you ever play with that stuff?
Huh?
Did you ever play with that? Like a
dough? Sometimes I play with it and you know, it's wet already.
Yeah.
I make a moo. What is that? make a moo out of it, my mother said. And after she threw grinding of pine, you know, on the matta, then I put a little flour on the matta with this little bit of pine to ground on it, and I roll it up like that. Then I mix it with that black stuff. Then I roll them up just like a pie crust, and I make little ears here, nose here, and body, and a tail, and a leg. It's a moo-hoo, I said. I make
a moo-hoo
out of that.
Yeah. Oh.
I do anything.
Mabel, did you play with...
No,
did you ever play with that?
I don't know what she's telling.
Oh, you
I don't know that. But I just see them go this way.
Rub
it. Yes, rub. We don't know nothing about
that. Yeah, most of the Indians, they don't care to go out pick pines. Yeah, and most of them don't know how to work it, too.
But I
got mine, everything what's got to be done with the pine nuts, I learned from my mother. From my mother.
Wizzy's mother took that dough, that black dough, and would make a little basket. A little conical basket. And she'd stick a little stick down in the bottom of it. And then she'd tell Wizzy that that was the basket that old woman carried to throw the bad children in.
Bad children in. When they're naughty, they're I know my mother's don't be naughty, says he. Paheta will come around and put you in his water where there's lots of sticks pointing up like that, big sharp ones. Gonna throw you in there and you're gonna get some sticks going to get in your body and you're gonna die, she said.
Well, that's what was it made out of that little. Grandmother made out of that black dough.
From your hands, you know, from the pine.
Stick
on your hands good.
Yeah.
You get the pine all clean, too. Some of these Indians like to have the clean, not too clean, kind of dark-like. And some clean it good.
Uh-huh.
I know my mother, she liked to clean it good. All her pine is ground white, you know, not gray-looking. That's how she likes it. Yeah.
See?
Some say it don't taste good when it's pure white. When it's got little charcoal, little dirt on it, they say it tastes good, better. I don't know. But I like it the way my mother fixed it. Like we used to go around, go East River, Ione, and this side of, that side of East Gate, and go to Alpine, all over through in there. And this way, go to Sweetwater, way back to the Bailooning, other side of Mining, and above Hawthorne, Lucky Boy, Sweetwater. Como's our favorite spot.
Yeah.
And yet they're getting rid of all the pine trees over there.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
They said when the Indians go out and pick pines, and they used to tell us that when we go through Dayton. When you get up the pine here, don't you cut any green pine down.
Yeah.
Don't do that. They tell us Indians like that. That's our native plant, the pinus.
Yeah.
It is. The white man never planted for us. God planted it for us, for our old people, for their food. And the white man say, don't you chop down one tree. You get in prison, say. And now look what they're doing. They should all be up here in prison.
Yeah.
That was a good speech.
Yeah, you know how the Indians used to, they take sagebrush and make fire right in here, make, fix your camp up good, put that high sagebrush and pine nut boughs, you know.
Yeah.
They fix it good and tight like that. They use that because they don't cut the whole tree down, they cut the limbs down.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they use, and the white people say they're chopping it down.
Yeah, yes, I know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.